Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning, everyone. I will appropriately stop myself from wishing you a happy Memorial Day. That would obviously be inappropriate, but let's think about that for a minute. Maybe it's a sign of how accustomed we are to peace that Memorial Day has become more known as the official start of summer than as a day for reflection and remembrance of those no longer with us, and particularly those who died in war. Amazingly, this is the fifth Memorial Day of the Iraq War, the fifth. And as the news of combat deaths in Iraq continues to arrive, we want to take a few minutes at the beginning of the show today to talk about that act of remembrance. And we asked Dave Isay, the founder of StoryCorps, to join us. So, Dave, welcome back to the show. Thank you for doing this with us on Memorial Day.
Hi, Brian.
You are going to play a clip from the StoryCorps booth, and we should remind people that StoryCorps is your project to make us a nation of oral historians. And people come usually with their older loved ones, sometimes with other people, and do just kind of person-to-person interviews. And you come on the show from time to time with usually amazing clips of all kinds of Americans who tell their own stories to each other as you record them and give them CDs of themselves to take home. What have you got that relates to Memorial Day?
Well, as you know, we've talked about it this before, but one of the things that we saw after we opened StoryCorps here in New York in 2003 was that lots of people, and this was something that I hadn't expected, lots of people came to the StoryCorps booth to remember loved ones who had passed away. And this interview that I'm going to play falls into that category today on Memorial Day, which is all about honoring men and women who died in military service in the United States. So this is two sisters who came to the booth in Portland, Maine. On January 26, 2005, First Lieutenant Travis Fuller, who was 26, was killed in Iraq when his helicopter crashed in a sandstorm. 29 other Marines and one sailor were also killed, and his sisters came to StoryCorps in Portland to remember their brother.
I'm Jenny Francis.
I'm Rebecca Fuller.
We're here to remember our brother, First Lieutenant Travis John Fuller, who was killed in Iraq.
He was born immature, as he would put it. He was born premature, and he was always the little guy. Even in the Marines, we'd get pictures of him, and there'd all these six-foot Marines, and there he was, you know, 5'7".
Even though he was the younger brother and we were the older sisters, we were always looking up to Trav and like trying to win his approval.
When I knew Travis was coming to visit, the first thing in my head was always, we have to do something cool.
But he didn't care.
No. He would make a good time wherever he was. It didn't matter. He would have a friend there in minutes. When Mom and Dad went to one of his graduations, he took the time to introduce Mom and Dad to the janitor who played the piano and the cooks in the kitchen. He took the time to notice the people around him.
How did you feel when you found out that Travis had enlisted in the Marines?
I actually remember this very clearly, and it's one of the things that I regret the most. He came home and he had some pamphlets talking about the Marines, and I just gave him a real hard time about it. And he got up and stormed out of the room and went down into the basement. And it was then that I realized how dedicated he felt about joining the Marines. And I went down and talked to him and let him know that I may not understand his choice, but I'm still going to love him and be proud of him. And I always hoped that it wasn't the memory of him running down to the basement that he thought of, but of all the other things that I tried to do to let him know that I was proud of him for everything.
We found out that Travis had been killed in a helicopter crash in January 2005.
It was probably the worst day of my life. My parents found out the news first, and then the next morning came out to get me. And then we drove up to see you to, you know, deliver the unfortunate news in person. And we were sitting upstairs in this pretty small room, and it suddenly hit me that our whole family fit in this tiny little room. And it was just us. That was it. That was everybody. And along with losing him, we were losing what our family could be in the future, too. We were losing the wife that he might have, our new sister-in-law. We were losing any children that he might have to add to our family. Everyone was in that room, and it was so small.
Jenny Francis and Rebecca Fuller remembering their brother, Travis Fuller, who was killed in Iraq at the StoryCorps booth in Maine, and StoryCorps founder David Isay is with us. David, it's amazing that people who don't know you would just go to the StoryCorps booth and bare their soul like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, what StoryCorps is really about, giving families a chance to spend 40 minutes together and look each other in the eyes and talk about what's important to them. It's really all about giving families and friends, mostly families, as you said, usually intergenerational, a chance to just sit and listen. What StoryCorps does is tell people that they matter and they won't be forgotten. I think in the case of this clip, I know it's important to remember every single person who has perished in this war, and recognize who they are as individuals. I mean, as the numbers of people who have died, you know, increase, it's hard to conceive the humanity that's died.
Indeed.
Over there.
I wonder if you hear a difference since, this is Memorial Day and remembrance is so much of what StoryCorps is all about. And I know you get people talking about loved ones who died in all the wars in our lifetimes, in our parents' lifetimes. Do you hear a difference when people talk about loved ones in lost in Iraq or Vietnam as compared to, say, World War II, which was much more popular?
I think that when you have the intense experience in StoryCorps, it really brings people back to the moment of remembering when they found out that their loved one had passed away. So you have, you know, we have people from World War II, certainly in the booth, remembering loved ones who had passed away and crying in the booth. But clearly, when it's within a couple of months or weeks or a year of when a loved one had passed away, it's somewhat more intense. But you know, losing there's nothing worse in the world than losing a loved one. So no matter when it happened, when people talk about it, it's an incredibly intense experience.
Just remind people how to get in touch with you if they want to take part in StoryCorps.
Sure, we actually have, as usual, five complimentary interviews for Brian Lehrer listeners, and you can come this week and remember a family member or friend who died in military service to this country, or you can do your Father's Day interview early or an interview to mark graduation. It's 646-723-7027, or you can find us on the web at StoryCorps.net.
StoryCorps.net or 646-723-7027. Dave Isay, founder of StoryCorps, thanks so much.
Thanks, Brian.
Now we'll talk about some of the history of Memorial Day, including why it has become such a light holiday in general, despite its very serious origins. My guest for this is the history writer Kenneth C. Davis, author of Don't Know Much About History, among many other books in his Don't Know Much About series. He also has a Don't Know Much About website, don'tknowmuchabout.com, and an op-ed in Friday's Newsday on how to think about casualties in a war that we may be losing. Ken, welcome back to WNYC. Thanks so much for coming on again.
Hello, Brian. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
How did Memorial Day originate?
It goes back to the grim days after the Civil War. Of course, 600,000 men died in the Civil War, as well as many women, but primarily men.
600. Now let's just stop for a minute and get our minds around that.
That's an astonishing number, Ryan, but it's also 2% of the population at the time. I mean, that's even more staggering.
So it's not just astonishing when we think about, of course, over 3,000 in Iraq seems like a lot, 55,000 roughly in Vietnam, 600 plus thousand in the Civil War, so not just for the sheer number, but for the percentage of the much smaller population of the country
right.
then.
We'd be talking about nearly 6 million people dying today if we had a war of that magnitude and brutality here in America. And of course, obviously, the Civil War, both sides were American fighting. But because it was a war that touched literally every small town in America, the practice of going out and decorating the graves of the fallen soldiers became a very typical tradition.
And it was originally called Decoration Day.
And it was called Decoration Day. The idea was on this day, and in 1868 it was sort of made a semi-formal day on May 30th, one was supposed to go out and decorate the graves of the fallen soldiers with fresh flowers.
Was there a reason for that date?
It seems, from what I understand, that that was the date at which the flowers were most likely all to be in bloom, particularly in the north. And I should point out, this was considered a northern holiday.
Hmm.
There were even accounts where there were Confederate soldiers buried in the same cemeteries that Union families would keep Confederate families out of the cemetery that day. This was a very bitter time. There are still, I believe, 7 states that still have separate Memorial Days for Confederate soldiers. So, you know, that's a reminder, again, of how divisive that war was in our past.
So it was originally May 30th on the calendar. How did Decoration Day become Memorial Day?
I believe in the 1880s they changed it from Decoration Day to Memorial Day. Not everyone could get out to the cemetery with fresh flowers, but they still wanted to honor the idea of the holiday, which is, of course, to remember very specifically the sacrifice of those who have died in battle in all American wars. Now, it's interesting, we talk about, you know, people have sort of forgotten about it. In the late 19th century, it was already being forgotten as well. There was a sense that this was already the kind of first weekend of the summer and time mm-hmm. for picnics. World War I changed that, of course, when the United States became involved in the fighting in Europe. The terrible trench warfare, all of a sudden there was fresh reason to have a Decoration Day, a Memorial Day once again.
And of course, what we now celebrate as Veterans Day started as Armistice Day on November the 11th for the day that the treaty ending World War I was signed.
That's correct. 11-11, the 11th hour on the 11th day of the 11th month. And a lot of people still confuse Memorial Day and Veterans Day. I find that's a very common confusion. You know, why are there two holidays for soldiers? Well, Veterans Day obviously honors all veterans, living and dead, whereas Memorial Day is really specifically set aside to commemorate those who died on the battlefield fighting America's wars.
And somewhere along the line, I guess maybe a few decades ago, Memorial Day got moved from May 30th to the fourth Monday, I guess it is. In May, so it's a Monday holiday for a long weekend?
Yeah, that happened in the late 60s, and I believe finally in 1971 it became a true national holiday and fixed on a 3-day. When we got that whole series of kind of movable feast holidays that included President's Day and
Labor Day and so forth.
Yeah.
But it's actually kind of shocking to me that this is now the fifth Memorial Day of the Iraq War. And yet most of the country goes blithely along talking more about the price of gasoline to go to the beach. Does it seem that way to you?
It's astonishing to me. It seemed that way to me for a long time. I've been thinking and talking about this with people going back really to the first Gulf War when for the first time it seemed to me back in 1991, that was a period when people actually sat up and took notice of Memorial Day, particularly in terms of the Vietnam veterans who always felt like they had been kind of overlooked by this. But yeah, we're now in, sounding vaguely Lincolnian, we are now in the fifth year of this great war. And I do find that people, you know, are focused on the first getaway weekend because it is a long weekend. It's the first getaway holiday of the summer.
And it also comes back again to what a small percentage of the population is having to shoulder the burden of this war.
Absolutely. And I think we also have a problem in America, which is how do we deal with death? And certainly the Pentagon has dealt with it very well in the sense that if you grew up during the Vietnam era, of course, you saw body bags every night being loaded on helicopters. We don't see that. The death and the loss in this war, it seems to me, has been incredibly well sanitized by the Pentagon. So we get, you know, on Memorial Day, the president laying a wreath at Arlington, and Arlington, of course, looks like, you know, a beautiful park, well manicured. The crosses are all there, of course, but it's still somewhat removed from the very real essence of the death. We don't see funerals of soldiers. We see very little about the men and young women who are dying.
So in your op-ed in Newsday on Friday, you discussed in this regard what you call the W word. What's that?
Well, when John McCain and Barack Obama used the word wasted in terms of the deaths in Iraq, they were both really roundly criticized, and both men backpedaled very quickly and said, no, we meant to say sacrificed. Sacrifice is apparently the politically acceptable term for referring to deaths in combat. And it strikes me as two things. That first of all, this is a strange notion. First of all,
they both used it to criticize the war. Even though McCain is a supporter of the effort, he's critical of how it's been run under Bush.
Exactly.
He said on David Letterman, of all places, "We've wasted a lot of our most precious treasure, which is American lives."
Yeah, and a lot of people, or at least a lot of political people, took umbrage at that, as if somehow it's a denigration to the memory of the dead to say their lives have been wasted. And I think it's actually raises a very important question that should be spoken about on Memorial Day. When is a sacrifice wasted? When is a sacrifice in vain? Lincoln talked about at the Gettysburg Address, let us resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain. So I think it's a very legitimate question to raise on Memorial Day when we are thinking about this terrible loss. When is the sacrifice wasted? When is it in vain?
We have about 30 seconds left. You see it as a false premise to think that this is somehow insulting the soldiers.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think it takes anything away from their honor or bravery to say that, or to at least ask if the sacrifice is worth it. And I think increasingly Americans are coming to realize that in this case, the sacrifice is clearly not worth it, just as it was not in Vietnam.
Kenneth C. Davis, you know his series of Don't Know Much About books, beginning with Don't Know Much About History and continuing on to Don't Know Much About the Civil War, Don't Know Much About the Bible. What are you working on now?
A book that's outside the series, but kind of close to my first love, which is American history, but kind of focusing on some small moments that from American history that we haven't heard about but probably should know a little bit more about. And I'll be writing a slightly different style.
All right. And the website is don'tknowmuch.com.
Don'tknowmuch.com, all one word, no apostrophe. And it's just an informational site. I don't sell anything there.
Ken Davis, thanks a lot.
It's always a pleasure, Brian. Thanks so much.